Honey, I'm home.
Hi, darling. Gee, it's good to have you home.
Oh, it's good to be home.
Did you have a nice day?
Just great. How was your day?
Just fun.
Married people. In black and white there, TV couples like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore, as American as apple pie, right? Well, not anymore. And remember, in the 70s, Mary did her own show where she was single, the Mary Tyler Moore Show. More recently, everyone laughed at the movie Bridesmaids, but why? Because they love the idea of being married or hate it? Can you tell?
You know what? If I ever had a wedding, I'd want everybody to be stress-free, you know? I'd like it to be like a carnival.
Mm-hmm. You could have elephants, and the bride and groom can walk on a little tightrope.
Okay, what you're talking about there, that's a circus wedding.
Oh.
It's a totally different...
This is Michelle calling in from Austin, Texas. My fiancé and I started our family together almost 2 years before we got engaged. We're in no hurry to get married. I'm not sure that we could have done things in this order 20 years ago, but I have several friends who started their families before they were married, and it just doesn't seem that odd anymore.
Thank you, listener Michelle. Singles rule, folks. For the first time on record since the Bureau of Labor Statistics started keeping track back in the 70s when Mary Tyler Moore was a hit, more than half of all Americans are single. We asked you to report on the sociological changes outside your windows.
This is Gil from St. Louis. That is not the case in my family-oriented suburban community. However, stories from and about young people at work or at church tell stories of relationship breakups or divorce. The American tradition of marriage is and has been in big trouble.
Well, Eric Kleinenberg knows all about this. The happily married sociology professor at New York University is also the author of Going Solo, The Extraordinary Rise and Surprising Appeal of Living Alone. Welcome, Professor.
Nice to be here.
So I gather we've kind of stepped into a archaic institution called marriage. We're just not cool anymore.
What were we thinking?
Yeah.
There's so many new ways to live these days.
Right. Is singleness an example of something that relates to the difficulty of linking up in this society the way it's going? Or is there really a preference to not being married?
Well, I think there are a few things going on. I mean, actually, it's probably easier to meet people than ever before if you think about all the incredible technologies we have to connect and find people for dating. You'd think we'd have solved that problem. One big issue is people today really are looking for their soulmate, and they're not going to compromise. They're not going to settle down. But another big thing is it's just become legitimate and viable to be single for a long period of time. That was never the case before.
And looking for your soulmate forever could maybe be more interesting romantically than getting hitched up for life. Is that kind of what's going on here, the eharmony.coms and everything else that makes it possible to find multiple soulmates over the course of a lifetime?
Well, I do think there's a little bit of that paradox of choice problem where you have so many different options, it's easy to find the flaws with each one and difficult to just pick some person with all their flaws, since we all do have them, and then just stay with it. But I think another thing is people are spending a big chunk of their lives, you know, much of their 20s and even into their 30s increasingly, becoming a grown-up. They're investing their time in their job. They feel anxious about their career, and they're having a very difficult time kind of moving into that next stage of what we've traditionally thought of as grown-up life.
Well, the other way of looking at this is they've spent so much time alone that, you know, they've got their stuff and their space, and they're not really terribly good at sharing it.
Well, one thing I learned about living alone from doing all these interviews is that people who live alone have a degree of control over their time and space that very few other people have. They have a chance for a solitude and a kind of a productive solitude. You know, we live in this moment of incredible hyper-connection. We are always engaged with social life through social media. When you live alone, you have a little oasis in your apartment. And I think paradoxically, a lot of people who live alone, whether they're young adults or people who've just gotten out of a marriage that ended in divorce or separation, living alone gives you a chance to kind of get back on your feet and figure out who you are and what you want in your next relationship so you can make kind of a stronger return to social life.
Now, others would say you get to go back to being narcissistic and ignoring the fact that you need to share.
you know, I thought something like that when I started the work for Going Solo. I mean, I really thought this was going to be a story about the selfish singletons and the narcissists out there, but I was totally wrong about that.
Wow.
It turns out that people who live alone are actually more likely to volunteer in civic organizations than people who are married. They're also more likely to spend time with friends and with neighbors. And of course, they're a big reason that there's so much activity and vitality in the public areas of cities today. They're not people who are self-involved, you know, sitting on the couch just buying things for themselves on eBay. They're really a crucial part of modern social life.
So, you know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics was the one keeping these stats. And I'm wondering if this is just an economic story. If kids are expensive, being married is kind of expensive, or at least it involves mortgages and all these kinds of, you know, huge expenses, cars, that sort of thing. Living alone is just more efficient.
Well, the truth is that living alone has been on the rise for decades now. It predates the recession. Really, up until about the 1950s, you can't find a single society in the history of our species that sustained large numbers of people living alone for long periods of time. But when we hit this prosperity of the post-World War II moment, we see it take off like never before. In my book, I call it the biggest social change of the last 60 years that we've really failed to name or identify. It was 22% of American adults were single in 1950, and the census records this as well.
Wow.
And today we know now that it's more than half. This is an enormous social change, and we're just beginning to grapple with it.
Does your wife get a little nervous about you writing a book called Going Solo, The Extraordinary Rise and Surprising Appeal of Living Alone? I mean, hello?
You know, she calls that my fantasy book. But, you know, the truth is that when you really get down to it, there's a grass is greener problem that just about everyone has. So there's no perfect way to live.
All right. But that's fine. But I'm going for the jugular here.
I avoided the question.
Yeah. Yeah. You come home and say, honey, I'm going to write a book called Going Solo, The Appeal of Living Alone. And your wife either says, great, that's a brilliant idea. It'll put our kids through college. Or she says, get lost.
Yeah, well, fortunately, she's a cultural anthropologist and is interested in exploring new kinds of things as well. So she has been amazingly generous.
Very supportive. She understands you, Eric.
Everyone has some people out there who can, and the trick is finding them.
You're a lucky man.
I couldn't agree more.
Thanks so much for talking to us. Eric Kleinenberg, sociology professor at New York University, author of Going Solo, The Extraordinary Rise and Surprising Appeal of Living Alone. Thanks.
Hey, it's been a pleasure.
Are you still waiting, or how is that single life working out for you? From Fenton, Missouri, one of you says, as a time-worn millennial, I feel I can speak for our entire generation by saying marriage is expensive and dumb. Why bother? Is that a woman or a man speaking?
Hi, my name is Marisa. I'm calling from Astoria, New York. I'm 26 years old. Most of my friends are older than me, and only one of them is married. I think it's because women have become so independent and no longer rely on men for support financially. We're able to live the lives that we would like to live as individuals, and finding a partner is secondary to our own life goals and happiness.
Well, thank you for sharing, Marisa. Being single, is it better for men or women? What do you think? How about marriage? Better deal for men? Better deal for women? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway. And if you want to catch up on that conversation or listen back to anything on the program, you can check us out at thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry, married for 19 years. My anniversary is coming up. What am I going to do? Oh boy. This is The Takeaway.
PRI, Public Radio International.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.